This will be the last sermon, of course, for this year, for 2020. And that may probably is a little exciting for us looking toward a new year. Normally that is. Normally we're kind of excited to start a new year, and maybe this year even more, because 2020 was a really difficult year. And certainly in my lifetime, it's been the most challenging for all people. It's really unique what we're experiencing in this pandemic. This has affected everyone, and some in very, very severe, difficult and painful ways. And so I think back, you look back in history, when was the last time America or the world experienced something so challenging? And I would, of course, I didn't live during World War II, but I'm sure in many ways that was much worse. However, as far as something affecting every person everywhere, I think this year has been very unique. So it's one that we would like. I haven't met someone yet that would like to repeat 2020 or for it to last longer. So we're all, I think, glad and anxious to move on. But I would ask that you consider this morning, what was God trying to do in 2020? What has God been trying to do this year? And I would also ask that you consider, what was Satan trying to do in 2020? So flipping your Bibles to Ephesians 6, verse 12, and I want to read out of the, I'll read this out of the New Century Version. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, "Our fight is not against people. Our fight is not against people on earth, but against rulers and authorities and powers in this world's darkness, against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly world." I don't know about you, but I need reminding. This first line in verse 12, our fight is not against people on earth. Do you, don't you need that reminder? That's not what our struggle is truly with, whether we know it or not. And so this verse tells us that life is not about our physical struggles, but it's about our spiritual struggles. So with that in mind, what was Satan trying to do this year? We look back, and that's what I want to do in this lesson today, is look back, if you will, with me, and see and reflect on what in the world happened. And so, Satan, well, look at Galatians 5:19. We don't have to go far to know and understand what is Satan doing, what is he trying to do. Galatians 5:19 is a list of works of the flesh. These are sins. These are kind of categories and areas. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those three kind of tie together. Sexual immorality has been a struggle of mankind from the beginning, and in all places, in all times, it this is like a lot of things, a gift that God gave to be in marriage between a husband and a wife, and Satan has been tempting people with it during all times, and certainly this year, this part of our society seems to only get worse. Verse 20, idolatry, which, remember, greed is a part of or type of idolatry. So idolatry is what Satan was trying to do in 2020. Sorcery, I would mention, you may not hear of the term sorcery, but maybe you've heard the term Wiccan or witchcraft. Those things we see sometimes in movies, and they seem fictitious, and they're also very real and very dangerous. Enmity. The word enmity means being opposed or hostile to someone. Has Satan been busy? Right? Enmity. Have you seen or have you witnessed or participated in being opposed or hostile to someone? Strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions. I want to mention back up on anger real quick. You'd be hard-pressed to find an occasion when anger was your friend. Scripture says a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And it tells us to not be, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Scripture teaches us when you're angry, don't stay angry. It's not good. It doesn't help you. So Satan has been working there. Divisions may be one that you've noticed the most. Divisions. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's Satan been doing? He's been trying to keep people from inheriting the kingdom of God. He's been trying to take people out of the kingdom of God. He's been trying to take the kingdom of God and make a mess of it, and that's the church. And so Satan loves conflict. He loves to damage relationships. He loves division. He loves resentment. He loves bitterness, frustration. And he especially loves it among God's people. So I look back on 2020 because, you know, we start out and we say, okay, the physical is the physical, but let's look at the spiritual because that's what's eternal. That's what really matters the most. And in the spiritual realm, Satan has had quite a few victories this year. 2020, this year, has provided the devil a lot of opportunities to divide God's people. And I would ask you to consider and think, has your voice been a dividing voice or has it been a uniting voice? Have you been about bearing with one another in love? And, you know, most of us have a point or an amount that we can bear with one another in love, and then we kind of lose it at some point. We run out of our patience, whatever. And we need more of that. God calls us to be people who bear with one another. So it doesn't take us long looking at 20. Let's look at 2020 and see what did Satan do. He did a lot. He did a lot. But let's flip the coin. What was God trying to do this past year? And I want to start just quickly in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And this is, we'll just quickly look here because, and I want you to notice verse 9. This is what we're supposed to do in relation to Satan. Verse 9, resist him, resist the devil, firm in your faith. God is trying to keep us firm in our faith. And so I want to commend you because right now, if you're watching this live, you have stopped what you're doing. You have made sure to be in position to worship God this day, this week. And in that sense, you have not been torn away from God. You've not turned. Maybe you are a distance from God, but you've not turned away from God because at least at this moment, you are worshiping God and listening to His Word. And so, you know, keep it up because we are to be firm in our faith. And so, in that respect, good job. Now, let's flip to what has God been doing this year? Let's read on like we did talking about what Satan been doing. Galatians 5:22, if you read on past the works of the flesh, you get to the fruit of the Spirit. God has been trying to bring about love. He's been trying to bring about joy this year, 2020. Have you experienced any love in 2020? Have you experienced any joy? Have you had any moments of joy? Peace. God has been trying to bring about peace in the lives of His children during 2020. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God's been working in those areas this year through His people. That's what God's been doing. And I would add to this a reminder. Jesus made the famous statement about His life and His mission, and Luke 19:10 says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." What's God been about? He's been about trying to save lost souls. I don't know that we've been as much about that. In fact, I know we have not been about Christ's mission as much as we should have in 2020, partly because we're easily distracted. But God's been trying to save souls. And He's been trying to bless in His eternal goodness in all the ways of the fruit of the Spirit, all those things. And what do we, you know, what have we been, what did you do in 2020? I mean, I can look back on this year. In some ways, I worked with God. In some ways, I was selfish and just thought about me and poor me and how this has been an inconvenience for me. But our God has been busy, and I want to encourage you with that. So look at Romans 8:28, and Zach read this during communion. Romans 8:28 is a great reminder, and I want to read from the New Century version, which says, "We know that in everything God works for the good of those who love Him. They are the people He called because that was His plan." It's a reminder that God is always working. He's always doing good in every situation. So this past week has been a difficult one for my family. If you're not aware, our middle daughter, Sydney, who's a freshman in college, her and her boyfriend, Josh Ivy, was in a car accident last Sunday night. And so it's been a very difficult week, very difficult time. And so I'll just briefly explain what everyone wants to, as to be expected, you want to know, okay, what happened? And so traveling down 244 east, where there's three lanes, and there's an exit, a Sheridan exit, which is on the left, which is unusual, but it's on the left of the highway. And they're in the middle lane, and there was a truck ahead of them that darted across their path, maybe trying to make that exit, but darted across them. And so Josh turned the car and avoided the truck and was not able to recover and hit the median. So that's how the accident happened. And we get the call, and they're in an ambulance. They're going to the hospital. She may have a concussion. They're going to check her out. So we drive up there, and in my typical fashion, I try to stay calm. I try to believe the best, and I'm kind of slow to believe the worst. And so and at this point, you know, check her out for a concussion, send her home, okay? And so we get there, and we wait about an hour for anyone to go back. You don't wait in the waiting room anymore, which is not so bad, because an ER waiting room is not the place you ever want to be. But we wait in the parking garage, and we get the call about an hour later, and Stephanie goes back to be with her. And in this year with COVID, only one person can go back, and they will be with her the whole time, which Stephanie was. So Abigail is with me, and Josh and Cindy Ivy, and we're there in the parking garage, and we're just waiting on Stephanie's calls. Anything that she knows, she calls and informs us. So when I get the call that they know a little bit more, and then when I hear the words skull fracture, she has a skull fracture. On the outside, I thought I try to keep a poker face, but Cindy Ivy said she saw my face change dramatically, and my stomach went to my feet. You know, skull fracture is not what you want to hear. And so, however, I mean, fast forward to where we are now. You know, God is really taking care of Sydney. She's home. She came home Christmas Eve. She's been progressing slowly. Everything looks good. Her swelling and bleeding did not require surgery. And so she has a headache, and that's her pain. She's on pain pills, and she sleeps a lot. So a slow recovery. But when all that happened, that's a difficult time. Now, what was God doing? And the truth is, God's been doing a lot. He's been doing a lot. I think I'm fairly confident, had they been in her vehicle, things would have been much worse. You can look at a situation like that and see, and I give God credit and praise. I remember distinctly the last time I hugged her, which was, of all things, it was that very day, last Sunday, walking down the hall. She gets more hugs from me now. She's been, before she moved out and went to college, you know how it is with teenagers. You have a lot of conflict. Maybe I should have hugged her more then, even though maybe I was irritated with her. But missing her, being away at college, she gets a little more hugs from me now. And I remember that last one, and then she's in the hospital, and I cannot see her. You can't go to the room and see her. I received a couple FaceTimes during the week, but beyond that, what really one thing that really helped me and was a big relief and a gift from God was when I saw her personality at home, when she came home. Because with a head injury, you wonder, you can think the worst, and the worst is a change in personality. But with a head injury, you don't, you know, what's going on in there, especially if she's sleeping, you don't know. But anyway, once she got home, there was a time or two she gave a little sass, some of her Sydney sass, as I call it. And I never thought I'd praise God for the child's sass, but it showed me that's her. You know, a little bit of, you know, no, I'm not talking, you know, a little bit of frustration, her trying to communicate with us. Her personality, to see that is a gift from God. Every answered prayer that we've had, which has been many, I want you to know, our church family, that, you know, the outpouring of love from you has been overwhelming. And you've probably heard that from other people who've gone through. You know, we see thank you notes in the bulletin that sound like what I'm saying, and it's so true. Every text, every call, every visit, every gesture, every meal, every act of service, every one of those lightened our load a little bit. It's really what it does. It lightens the burden. It's all from God, by the way. And it's a powerful feeling that I experienced this week, unlike I've ever experienced before, going through a time when I just pray and I trust and I say, Elliot, you preach to everybody all the time how they're supposed to trust God and have peace and pray, and I worked on that, believe me. And I experienced that, but it's still the worry is still there. So I pray and I trust, and then but the feeling I wanted to tell you about is knowing that all these prayers are going up. There's something unique about that. That gives you extra peace because you know God is being bombarded by requests to be with your loved one. I received a call when she was in the hospital or a text from Brandon Banks, and which was a very special thing for me because, you know, Stephanie and I are in opposite positions during this week. She's with Sydney all the time. She has all that exposure, and I don't, and I'm in the dark. And Brandon texts me was really kind of one of the first news from a doctor type. Brandon's a PA or a nurse practitioner. He's a doctor to me. But anyway, he texts me and he says, I checked on Sydney and, you know, things look good. Prognosis looks good. And so from a brother in Christ being in a fortunate place and position, same hospital, all that. Anyway, that meant the world. And I praise God for that. I appreciate Josh. I just want to quickly say, Josh Ivey, I saw in him what you want to see in the one who's dating your daughter, and that is you want him to put her first. You want him to love her more than he loves himself. And during this whole ordeal, he took care of her, and I appreciate him for that. And I appreciate Stephanie, and I don't have time to say everything I would say here, but she had a privileged job being with Sydney in the hospital, but she had the hardest job. And so when you go through things like this, you have gifts. I appreciate my wife more now. Those are gifts. These are things that come, you know, you wonder, what is God doing? God's working. And like Zach said, if we look, we can see what God has been doing. So when you look back on 2020, do you see God? Have you seen God working? Because this past week, I saw God a lot. This year, 2020, has taught us to appreciate some things. I hope it has you. I won't worship together with my church family again and take it for granted. I don't think I ever will. We appreciate that, don't we? We have an appreciation for gathering with our earthly families because, I don't know about you, but I didn't gather with all my earthly family this past week. And I now value that more than I did before. That's a gift from God. I really appreciate healthcare workers. When you have an experience with the hospital during a pandemic, during this whole situation, you appreciate them. Sydney was in a ICU. They call it ICU. It was in the ER kind of part of the hospital, so it was not in where ICU typically is. But hospitals are struggling. Healthcare workers are struggling, and I appreciate them and the work they do. Now, I want to kind of let's look at 2020, and I want to take your minds where I normally do in this sermon, which is look back on all the things that we've done as a church We give God praise for that. So I want to do that, even though this year there was so much we could not do and did not do. But, you know, our sound room team has been working so hard and come and really blessed us as a church so much now. What you're receiving from watching this at home is really a blessing, and I know that you know that. And so I just want to brag on them. And it's, you know, anytime you're sick in the future, by the way, you will not have to ask someone how to watch the broadcast. You know exactly how to watch it because you've been doing it all this pandemic long. So that's a blessing. But we had three baptisms this year, and I want to mention them. Marty Najera, Katie Herndon, and Joanne Millay. Those are three souls that gave their life to Christ, and they did it in 2020. So thank goodness we had this year. We had five new members in our church family: Ivy Doss, Darren and Jackie Harris, Brady Blizzard, and Omake Willenborg. And we've not been able to be around them as much as we would want to, but we will. And we love that they've chosen to be and join our church family. And so that's a big blessing to us. We had four marriages this year. I made slides for all this, guys. Looky there. We had four marriages this year: Vernon and Debbie, Dylan and Madison, Gregory and Kelsey, and Josh and Megan. And we're happy for those new families that have started, and we pray for them. And we had five babies, and we had more than these. This is where things get a little tricky. We've had more than these, but some are, but the I tried to include those that are a part of our church family directly. And so if I've overlooked someone, please, please forgive me. But Dalton and Alex Jordan had baby Vincent. Craig and Ashley Hollowell had baby Cooper. Kel and Lindsay Smith had baby Ledger. Dylan and Madison Waller, baby Easton. And Brian and Tara Jones, baby Hudson. And what a blessing babies are to families, right? What a blessing. And so 2020, you know, I look back, I have the tendency to look back on 2020 and say, you know, boy, I almost wish, you know, that year never happened. Could we not just skip that year, what have you? But these babies, this is their birth year. They were born in a pandemic, and they blessed their families, and God blessed their families. And so what a good year this was for them, because life started. And that's what God does. God blesses. Pandemic or no pandemic, God is still working. And He did it, you know, with marriages and all these things that I'm mentioning. Our church family has a new deacon of missions, Brian Knotts. That's a blessing to us. And we appreciate Brian and his service. It's a big deal. We have chosen to do a building remodel during this pandemic. And you, the church family, have responded financially to help support this and to help us be able to do this without incurring debt. And so this is just kind of a recent picture. It may not look great to you, but I love it because it looks like progress to me, and I can start to see how things will look when it's finished. But we're excited and we look forward to this. Our you know, carpet will be new, and our chairs, our seating will be new. The lighting will be bright. You'll be able to see. You'll be able to see in our new remodeled auditorium. So appreciate Jeanette Anderson and Ted Bowen so much. I'll just name those two for sure. They spend a lot of time on this, and they are a blessing. I've learned to be a little more content this year. When I go to the grocery store and there's toilet paper on the toilet paper aisle, that's a win. That's a victory, right? That's something we learned this year. I've learned to trust more. We've learned to keep our faith in the Almighty and not in people. I hope you've learned that. If you've learned that, that's a blessing. That's quite a bit right there, isn't it? We are still alive and we're able to praise God. I want to kind of quickly move through this part. This was our theme this year, radical living. And, you know, in a nutshell, we are to be different than the world. And so we focused on being more loving and generous, more holy, and serving more. And I want to leave you with just one example of service, one good example of service that happened this year. There may be bigger examples. I know there are plenty more good things that you did. When God's people loves each other. It's a beautiful thing. And so I want to share this one with you. So when we were taking out the carpet from the remodel from the auditorium, Bert Hunter wanted a piece of that to put in his living room. And Bert's my friend. He's one of my favorite people, honestly, your brother, Bert Hunter. And right now, by the way, Bert's doing this right now. He's covering his face. He's so humble. And I apologize. I'm going to have to apologize to him forever because no one likes it when I talk about them in my sermons. But I really want to talk about the people that helped Bert. That's really who I'm talking about. And so Bert wanted a piece of that carpet because in his living room he didn't have carpet. And so Ted was up there one day and helped me cut out a piece and roll it up. And then Bert came up and cleaned it all up, vacuumed it, shampooed it. And then we were trying to figure out how to get it. It's a large piece, and how to get it to his house. And Alan Ringel happened to swing by that day and was there, and lives near Bert, and said that he would, you know, help us load it up and he'll take it. And so he did, which was great. So he took it up to Bert's place, and then Ruth Ann and Reese went later and helped arrange it, helped get everything set up, which took quite a bit of time, but they did that. And then I have a picture that I want to share with you. And this piece of carpet, by the way, is the same piece that Bert's parents would have sat on in the auditorium. It's located where they sat, which I think is special, and for years where they worshiped. And so I just want to mention that as an example of God working. That's God working through His people. It's a beautiful thing, and there are many, many, many of those things that happened this past year. So I leave you with this thought. I hope that you remember 2020 for what God did and not for what Satan did. I hope that's how you remember 2020. And so may we praise God for how good He is. Let's close together this sermon in a prayer, and then we'll have some announcements, and then a final prayer for a few more people. God, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for every day. Every day and every breath is a gift from You. And it's been a difficult year for us in all types of ways. And we've fallen short in many, many ways, and we pray You forgive us for the ways and times we've been selfish and divisive, all the times we've given in to Satan's temptations. We pray forgiveness, and we pray that You would help us to see You more, Your goodness, and how often You come to our rescue, how often You're blessing us in ways we fail to see many times. But we look back on this year, and when we stop and think about it, You've been very, very good to us, and we praise You for it. And we just want to shine, we want to glorify Your name more and more. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.